Hello and welcome to our ongoing series of conversations with people that are making a difference with how it is that we live our digital lives. Very fortunate today to catch up with Colin Farker. He is a senior vice president at VTech, an extremely innovative company that's doing a tremendous amount of work and harnessing the power of video within the enterprise. Colin, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Oh, thank you. It's great to have a chance to speak.
So, Colin, I wanted to talk to you about sort of these concentric generations of television and video solutions that have been embraced, especially in the last few years, with a great deal of gusto in the enterprise. And specifically wanted to talk about what video refresh strategies look like today in the enterprise as we begin to lean into the role of video as a critical category of traffic that is flowing through our enterprise networks. Maybe just give me a sense of what you're seeing and what are the circumstances that you are seeing driving video refresh initiatives across different enterprises.
Yeah, well, video content's always been important to organizations, mostly because of the desire to invest in communication within, you know, within a facility within your organization. But the types of technology that have been used really has varied quite dramatically. Traditionally, we've thought, we've been thinking about often about live television content, which was traditionally distributed over kind of an RF coax infrastructure, maybe having some other internal channels modulated onto it, and very simply delivered out to screens, you know, around the building, and very effective at doing that, but not very flexible in terms of using the screen real estate, or offering a degree of flexibility and control over the content. You know, very often, just posting a channel and leaving it there all day. You know, not very engaging. And to be honest, despite the fact that technology now is probably well due for a refresh, many systems in the world out there doing very much that. We've also seen organizations over the past 20 years make investments into IPTV technologies as the first stage of transitioning from that RF distribution infrastructure. But in many cases, certainly in the very early days of this transition, people were doing essentially the same thing, using the flexibility of the IP infrastructure that was available within the building. To get content out to endpoints. And, big benefit in that simple step of moving to the network was you were not restricted to where the coax cables ran. I remember a story working with one of our large media company customers where they had a lot of journalists who would sit on the floor and journalists want to watch TV, but monitor television as part of their monitoring and keeping an eye on what's happening in the news, and they would ask for a screen on their desks, and they'd be told it would take sort of 3 to 4 weeks to achieve because they had to run coax cable to that desk, they had to check the amplifiers, make sure there's enough capacity to plug the coax in. It had to be scheduled the weekend because it meant lifting floors. It was a very large, complex project managed exercise, and moving to IP simply meant the journalist could plug any box from us into a network point on their desk, attach a screen, and within a day could have a wide range of content delivered to them. So important using the network as that video delivery mechanism. We've been doing this in this IPTV type distribution for many years, and of course, many of our customers, although they started off with, a relatively simplistic view, it was a replacement for RF technologies. They've been moving towards trying to take greater advantage of the content that's available to them. So not just TV content, but content coming from a whole range of other sources, often self-created within the organisations. So they're trying to enrich the experience, the communications experience. For staff or customers or visitors or whatever it may be. But also want to use the screen as something more than just to play out point for video. So actually wanting to add more or overlay more value onto the screen. And so have been looking at digital signage as part of the evolution of the technology set that they've been using. But of course, like a lot of these areas in technology, you can start off very easily. But of course, when you start to think about how you can expand and take advantage of all of the bells and whistles and capabilities of the solution, you start to face some big problems because, you know, back in the early days, delivering television to a screen or video channel to a screen over coax, relatively simple. The screen just played that channel. That was it. Job done. When you move to IPTV to give you the flexibility of the network infrastructure, again, great. And very often, the same content played all the time. So relatively straightforward from a management point of view. But moving towards the next phase of refresh of technology, it's a lot more about, well, okay, we've now got all these screens, we've got all this content. We want to take advantage of this, optimize it for the, you know, for the specific requirements that we have across the organization, for individuals, for departments, for situations, positions within the building. We want to have that content dynamically changing to suit time of day, day of the week, event that's running, a whole range of things. And of course, as I said, that then introduces the massively complex area of management that's involved in these systems. And so, you know, it's that interesting juxtaposition of, I want to do more with this great tech, but in doing so, I have to understand what the challenges are and embrace some of the extra responsibilities and challenges that come with it, and look for the best solutions out there to help me manage that estate of displays and content, you know, to get the best benefit for my organization. So yeah, it's an interesting space at the moment, I have to say.
You know, what's been it seems like yesterday, so time does fly when you're having fun, but those early days of IPTV remind me of sort of the early days of voice over IP, where it did seem like it had, did not have the reputation for delivering the quality that was associated with that legacy coaxial service. That's changed, has it not? We've seen some remarkable advances in compression technology and display technology. What is the sort of, when you look at IPTV and you look at it in the context of the high fidelity expectations that people have for video, is IPTV in that prime time space, is it delivering on that high fidelity experience that enterprises are expecting?
Yeah. So I would probably disagree with your characterization slightly from the early days of IPTV, and maybe that's because of my own experience. You know, certainly one of the major advantages of introducing that first generation of IPTV to organizations was the confidence they would have that the video delivered from any point in the building would be exactly the same as the others. Whereas in the RF distribution space, it would depend how far you were from the amplifier. It depended how many connections and joins were in the cable. You get ghosting and reflections and all these other things that would happen. And so a well-designed RF system, you know, would absolutely deliver very high-quality content, but that could easily be compromised. And so you could end up with, certainly over time, because people would come in and, you know, stick on bits of cable and extensions and things like that. That could seriously impact the video quality. Now, IPTV overcame that by you know, delivering consistently a digital bitstream of content out to a point, any point, consistently. And that was a huge advantage and one of the big areas why, one of the big reasons why companies were keen to transition to IPTV. Of course, you're absolutely correct, however, that the question then became, well, okay, what level of quality of video can you deliver? So you can get it to me consistently. It looks pretty good in comparison to maybe what I've been used to. And the fact that it's consistently delivered is a big benefit to me. But certainly with the increase in size of screens, it's become more critical that content is delivered at higher resolutions. so that the experience that you see is, you know, is as good as it can be. You know, I guess I sit in my office here in Scotland. I've got a 75-inch screen about, you know, about maybe 15 feet from me. If I was to deliver the content that I was delivering 20 years ago to that screen, it certainly wouldn't look as good as the 4K content with, you know, the best quality of or the very high bit rates of that we're using with the very latest codecs. Certainly wouldn't have the same experience. So certainly true that, you know, codecs have evolved dramatically, and that's been very important. It's helped to allow the delivery of more content, and for that content to be delivered more efficiently over networks. And that's important, you know, despite the fact today that we have networks that provide very, very high levels of data connectivity. For most of us, you know, we're using a relatively small amount of bandwidth between our, you know, desktop PCs or laptops and the corporate network. When we start to look at lots of video and the potential of delivering lots of that content, you know, we really are looking at delivering, you know, vast amounts of material across the infrastructure. And so, you know, having that done in the most optimal way becomes very, very important. And actually, you know, it's again, just talking about, I guess, the evolution of this refresh, many organizations started up going, right, all I want to do is replace my RF system. They replace the RF system, they put a simple IPTV system in place. That works very, very well for them. They're very happy with the quality. They've extended over time. They've maybe added some basic digital signage to take advantage of the screen space that they have, real estate that they have. But as they have expanded the systems, they've thought about, well, okay, I want to take this content and deliver it out to some remote offices. I want to, you know, bring together different departments and facilities that I have, and provide them with the same content, same experience, consistently. And that becomes a challenge. You know, I've been working recently on a fairly major banking project where the bank wants to deliver lots of video content out to their branch network, but unfortunately the branch network's in a location where broadband is relatively poor, and so they're really concerned about how do I optimize delivery of this content so that the video content's not taking up the majority of my bandwidth. They want to, you know, obviously prioritize business banking content and use the remaining bandwidth to support their internal communications. So lots of reasons why bandwidth's important. Codecs certainly helping. All these evolutions really, really making a difference. And of course, you know, we're on a treadmill here. It's never ending. We're busy working on 4K. We're going to see a rapid increase in the number of 4K, the amounts of 4K content that's being distributed. So important that we're doing things with HEVC and others. But of course, 8K is coming, you know, and we're beginning to see content in 8K being used in many environments. I think we'll see that, you know, continue to accelerate, and we'll have to deal with that. And of course, high levels of content and color reproduction demand more bandwidth.
Indeed. So, looking back, it sounds like we have concentric circles of or generations of IPTV that are in the refresh mix. But before we go there, what's the embedded presence of those legacy RF video systems? Is there still a lot of that out in the market still that you see being converted into an IPTV enterprise into the enterprise networks?
You know, it's still there. We still see RF systems in deployment, and see customers who are now looking to refresh and to update those systems and take advantage of what's available today. So they still exist, they're still there. I would say, you know, over the past 10, 15 years, you know, we're reaching the latter stages of that refresh cycle. So there are still people out there using RF infrastructure, still distributing video. In fact, you know, perhaps not so much in the corporate space, but certainly in a number of other markets, you know, RF still remains an important technology. And of course, it's also regionally dependent. There'll be some regions in the world where, you know, RF remains a well-established, effective, relatively, you know, relatively low cost. It's been deployed, so it's in place. The cables are in the wall, and so it makes sense for that to continue. So there's certainly still a lot of that RF technology out there. I would say it's hard to say if it's the majority or not. I would probably put my, you know, or estimate the actual quantity, but I'd say the majority has probably been transitioning over the past 15 years. To IPTV. And I think IPTV has really become the de facto approach for content distribution within organizations. You know, it just makes sense. It takes advantage of the network. It's allowing you to leverage more of that investment you've made in your network infrastructure. It's giving your IT guys more control. All these things that, you know, the classic benefits, I would say, of an IPTV system. But having, yeah, see, having said that, there's definitely multiple streams of refresh taking place. There's guys who have never moved from the RF who are going, right, now it's affordable. You know, this really now we can make the transition. This is something which we may have not done 10 years ago because it was 3-4 times the cost to do what we want to do. And then we've got the guys who have been invested in IPTV solutions. They've had them in place for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And they are looking at them and saying, yeah, they're doing a great job for me, but I know I can achieve and I can deliver much more from this class of technology within my organization.
Yeah, it sounds, if I'm hearing correctly, if you've got an embedded infrastructure for that, for the legacy RF technology, there is a complex, or at least some effort needs to be put into place into doing the technical and financial analysis of where you go next. But a lot of the action appears to be in what one might call greenfield, right? People moving to new facilities. You don't see new facilities getting built out, you know, these new smart buildings in particular, getting fitted out with RF at all anymore, right? That's all moving to these modern IPTV environments. Am I capturing that correctly?
I think that's absolutely the situation today. We don't see the same level of coax RF infrastructure being put into buildings that we would see or we saw, you know, 15, 20 years ago. There's not the same requirement for it. And in most applications, delivery over the IP infrastructure proves to be the most effective way to deliver all of the services or all the database services that the organization needs. And so that coax RF infrastructure really doesn't have the same place as it had before. Now, there are some situations where absolutely it's still there. You know, if I'm, and say not to, to switching out the corporate world for a second, you know, if I'm building a block of apartments and providing an RF infrastructure to deliver, you know, satellite or, you know, or cable connections to every facility, every dwelling within that apartment complex. So it's still there for that purpose. But, you know, if I look into commercial applications, you know, the corporate world, stadiums, you know, healthcare, hospitality, you know, all of these areas where you know, IP is the dominant technology that's being used for this kind of distribution. So yeah, absolutely. I'm going to make a rash statement here, so somebody will probably, you know, from drop a note and say you're absolutely wrong. But I would say if you're out there today and you're building something and you're thinking of putting a coax infrastructure in place for video distribution in your corporate, you're making a mistake. You've got to step back, rethink what you're doing, and if you want to give me a call and talk about it, please do.
Sounds like a date. Let me
over a beer
sounds like a even better opportunity. Let's talk a little bit about the economics and sort of the cost benefits, you know, as we begin to transition both from legacy IPTV to the modern IPTV and from the RF technologies and begin considering the you know, new IPTV video solutions for the enterprise. how does this change the way we think about allocating resources of things like maintenance or our CapEx and OpEx? How does that change, or how is that different today? And what trajectory are the economics of IPTV and the enterprise taking?
I think we're in a really interesting time for, I'm not even IPTV, for organizations. We are just coming out of a pandemic. We have become more accustomed to hybrid working. We've become much more comfortable with using video as a day-to-day tool. You know, it's not just the video on the screen or the digital signage points around my building. It's very much an integral part of how we're operating and how we are running our businesses and communicating and managing the operations or the operations within our facilities. So, I'd almost want to get away from the economics, from the sense of, how much does this stuff cost? I'm not going to say it's not relevant. We'll come back to that in a second. But I think we all recognize that video and content has become an incredibly, incredibly critical and valuable part of our business asset set. So if I want to train my staff on something, video is the way to go. If I want to make sure the folk coming into the office know what's happening today and how the office is being used and given, a given setting or for a given set of activities, it's the screens in the office that I'm using combined with my digital signage system. If I want to get content out to, individuals, in that banking example, out to a remote branch, it's a video that I'm using, it's a network infrastructure that I'm using. I'm doing that and I'm using those resources because that video, that content is incredibly valuable to me as an organization. It makes my staff more effective. It makes them communicate, better, and that helps. Because a happy ship is a fast moving one. It really makes a difference in terms of, how the business operates. It's fairly critical to us all, I think, that we understand that video as a business asset is valuable, and so we have to invest to make sure we get the very best from it. So that's the difference. In the last generation of IPTV systems, perhaps people were really just delivering content out in a very consistent, well-managed fashion across the network infrastructure. It was important, very important. But as we've seen video become an increasingly valuable part of our corporate data set, we want to invest more to take advantage of it, to absolutely optimize it, to the organization's need.
Yeah, it does seem like there's been a significant, it is a channel of communication, the way that email is a channel of communication or video conferencing is a channel of communication. There's a literacy almost that appears to be both on the consumption of it and a lot of people are creating content now. It's much more accessible to create. So just it seems like it's not just a specialized AV unit in the enterprise. Am I capturing that correctly? There's a democratization.
I think you are. I mean, I've been working recently on some new proposals. Trying to think about what the corporate's doing, and the range of content sets that they're creating, and how they blend all these technologies together. And I've just been kind of imagineering a little bit, what goes on. And you kind of start from the basics, go, yeah, I've got some video distribution. I'm going to do some television distribution. I'm going to make available some training material. So I make some system available to support that and host that and present that in a consistent fashion. I think about the screens. I'm going to use signage. I'm going to have room booking system so I can see what rooms are used for what. I might use a little bit of mapping to see where things are in the building. But I know from my own experience, it's becoming incredibly important. One of the things that I see more and more organizations doing is creating almost their own broadcast capability. They want to be content creators. They see the value in that. They're looking for people within the organization to take advantage of that, you know, create content. There's risks to this, of course. I know myself. I mean, I'm a relatively practical individual. So most jobs at home, I do myself. If I don't know how to do it, I go on YouTube, spend 30 minutes, work out how to do it, then go get my tools out and go do the job. Pretty straightforward. Now, you can go down, a rabbit warren with that and disappear, you know, into the weeds, trying to find out the very best way to do everything. And that can be distracting. But, you know, the video is, you know, the source of knowledge for many. And it's available and it's accessible. And actually, I'm trying to get my head around just now is the fact that not all video has to be produced to the high, presented at the highest production quality. Often it's just that practical, here's me and my phone, I'm doing this little thing, I'm showing it to you, now I can share it with everybody. So I see organizations really, you know, wanting to, you know, combine good quality production capability because they've got to do the big company meetings and events and all the rest of it, but also trying to encourage their staff, people in the organization to use video as a means of communicating, you know, how to do things and how to do things well. It's incredible, really. I mean, say today I had this really complex, I had this relatively complex thing to do today, where I had to combine a couple of spreadsheets using Power Query. I knew how to do it. I couldn't quite remember the set of commands I had to do. So 2 minute, jump on YouTube, boom, verify what I'm doing. 30 seconds later, I'm doing this really complex thing that before I'd probably had to have been, you know, a power user, but I've become a pseudo power user because I can do the things I need to do really effectively with video available to support me in that learning journey.
Yeah, you do see folks creating these libraries of videos for proprietary use. One of the big trends in the enterprise space is the move towards things like robotic process automation, where you have rank and file employees creating automated processes, previously the purview of IT organizations. Yeah. And video, clearly a way to cut through the complexity, the screen sharing capabilities, the process that might otherwise require high-end animation. Very interesting. As Colin, as folks begin to think about the new best practices or the attributes that they should be thinking about or have at the front of mind as they begin their refresh process, what should they be contemplating? What advice do you have for executives that are going to take either refresh from RF or go to the latest generation of IPTV in their enterprise? What should they be thinking of?
Okay. So there's probably three or four things that they really have to be focused on. As I say, the way you're going to use this content and use the system is going to be more sophisticated than what you had been doing previously. More screens, more content, more variation in the configuration of content at screens at given points in time. All of that takes effort. So you've got to think about, okay, do I have the right skills on board to do that? But actually, a lot of that can be, a lot of the challenges can be, I'm not saying eliminated, but certainly the impact of the challenge can be reduced by, making good technology selection choices, making sure that, you know, the systems that you're looking at, considering, provide good management capabilities that, you know, you can see your devices, you can schedule content, you can schedule signage, you can track user use of material in a relatively straightforward fashion. So, you know, knowing that you have access to tools to support you through that management exercise is pretty key. And knowing that those tools have the ability to scale beyond just one building, you know, so you really want to start thinking about, okay, you know, what I'm doing here in New York, I want to do in London and Paris and Munich and Dubai and Sydney. And if I'm doing that, how can I pull all of those together and try and leverage the skills that I have in different locations to effectively manage this across my entire organization. So for me, management and management tools are a big, big part of what you're going to be thinking about. I think the second thing, though, I guess security. You know, in any IT infrastructure in a corporate, you want to know that the system you're deploying is robust and secure. You want to know that you're not exposing yourself to potential, hacking threat, whatever it might be. And so understanding how communications happen with devices, making sure that you're thinking about password policies and implementing right good policy to ensure that you're protecting all of the devices and the assets on your network, pretty key as well, I think. There's a whole host of others. You know, funnily enough, one of the things that's coming up at the moment, I've been having a bit of an internal discussion about next generation technologies and trying to understand, you know, how might people do things in the future and what things will impact their decision making. And we've got a particular customer who's been talking about just, you know, I don't want to use an encoder as an appliance device, a thing that creates video. I just want to use my general purpose, you know, server to go and do that. And you can do that. That's absolutely fine, and it'll work. But the power overhead of that is pretty high. And as video becomes increasingly, video is everywhere. So let's start. You know, if it is everywhere, we're creating lots of content. The cost of creating that content is relatively high from a power consumption point of view, particularly when you're doing that, you know, on a PC. It's not the most efficient way often to create that content or to distribute that content. And so, you know, power consumption, green technologies, and understanding the impact of what I'm doing is becoming increasingly important. Certainly, it's an area where, you know, we benefit, I think, because, you know, we have a lot of expertise in creating optimized solutions for video distribution, and we know that we can deliver, a much more economical fashion from a power point of view than often, a general purpose device can. But again, the kinds of things you have to just bear in mind, you know. The content is great. IPTV is going to add a lot of value to your infrastructure, to your communications, to your delivery of corporate culture. But we're all very sensitive to what that costs in terms of the impact on the planet. And so, you know, understanding the credentials of your suppliers and their view, I think, is pretty key.
Indeed, I think VTech is playing a leadership role. I think you call it, is it the Green Peg initiative that you guys are doing to do exactly that, to sort of ensure that enterprise video is deployed in a sustainable manner?
Green Peg is an incredibly important initiative for us. I spend a lot of time talking to, you know, my engineering department, and that Green Peg philosophy really goes right through to the core of what we do. You know, we're making engineering decisions based on what's going to give us the optimal output. So we're balancing all these important characteristics of, you know, video quality, resolution, et cetera, and taking that and balancing that against, right, okay, how do we achieve that and deliver that with the lowest and best, power outcomes. So yeah, Green Peg, really, really important. I'm sure many other organizations, you know, are similarly committed, to delivering the best outcome, from a green perspective. But VTech, certainly, it's a core value that we have within the company.
Outstanding. Colin, what a wonderful opportunity. Thanks for bringing us up to speed on sort of things to be considering as you move to the next generation of integrating enterprise video into your operations. A wonderful conversation. I appreciate the input and hope we get a chance to get together again and talk about
it. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. And genuinely, MD is interested in discussing further. Email me. I'm more than happily meet up for a beer to discuss in great detail. Thank you.
Outstanding. That's an invitation that you're extending to myself and to our audience, I believe. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Colin. Have a terrific rest of your day.
Thank you.